All right, ready? All right, everyone, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of get into some of the nuts and bolts about goals and how we kind of structure all the scorecards and millions of spreadsheets that we have. Just kidding. It's probably only about 10. But there's a lot of numbers we look at.
Yes, we do. And if you've not been with us before, Toolbox Tuesdays come from the name for our huddles and our practices. Every Tuesday, we pick a tool in our toolkit where we review that with all of our team members to make sure that we are all on the same page. We are in the middle of our series on target tracking. This is week two of this. If you have not been with us for the first series, we interviewed Sten last week to talk about some of the pain points that he experienced in building a practice and becoming an owner doctor. How he realized what we needed from an overhead expense standpoint and from a production standpoint. So we're going to continue in that series this week, talking about really looking at our overhead expenses and our why behind setting goals for these numbers. Right. So first and foremost, we talked a little bit about this last week as far as overhead expenses are concerned. And we know that everyone has a different variance in terms of overhead expenses. And one of the things that we wanted to highlight with this, we talked about hiring an associate and realizing that when you do hire an associate, of course, your overhead expenses will increase. The associate is going to be on payroll. They're going to need support team members that will increase your overhead. But overhead expenses are more than just a straight percentage. And that's something that we've learned over the years. There's a lot of percentages that are recommended to us from consultants or from accountants in the past. You need to be within X number of percent for these different categories. Now, in the area that we are in, overhead expenses for team and for facility are very high. They are much higher than what the average is or what we've been told you need to get within X percent of. People here will just not work for that dollar amount, and we're in California on top of it. So we can't compare our wage hourly with someone out of state and their wage hourly. So realizing that and what are the overhead expenses that you really do have control over. And if you have a quote unquote higher fixed overhead for your facility or for your team expenses, how can you make it up somewhere else?
Right. And I think we actually have gotten our team, the last few years, definitely in kind of in line with where even across the country that should be. But we've done that with different strategies like remote working and different strategies, kind of training and things like that. And so it hasn't been something that you can just do and plug and play. It's not a Monday morning type strategy. It definitely takes a long time to kind of develop and develop a culture that it will accept something like that and make that productive. But there's always ways you can do it. And I think what we learned is a lot of the percentages that we were taught, whether through CPAs or different consultants or coaches, things like that, were actually a lot higher than we actually thought where they should be. And where, with the percentages that we've landed on that kind of work really well for our practice are sometimes 2 and 3% lower per category than, kind of that norm around the country. And I think what that norm gives you, it gives you the norm. It gives you the average. And if you really want to be something that is special and have a really profitable, really, kick-ass business, you're not going to look at the norm, right? And if you're looking at that 60 or 70% overhead, that's just not going to cut it sometimes. And so, I mean, we're really looking to kind of those overhead numbers to be kind of in that 45 to 50% range. And we needed to do that by really making some efficiencies in a lot of different areas and being creative with it.
Yeah, and if you are under in some of those percentages, to Sten's point, if you're being told that the norm is 5% for admin expenses and you're at 2.5%, don't look for ways to spend money
No,
to make up that,
no.
that if you're not spending 5% in your admin expenses, something is wrong. It goes on both sides. And that's why we have this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say that's why we have the business health assessment. This is something that we do with our private clients where we can track where some of those expenses are. And we set those goal numbers. We compare it to what we're doing in our practices because we know of ways that we can look for cost savings and how to maximize those different categories and to also help see improvement. There's going to be ebbs and flows. We're very big on looking at our trailing 12-month numbers, at our 13-week averages. If you have hand pieces that all go out in 1 month, or there's a chair repair that has to happen, your repair costs might be more expensive that month. Yes, you're gonna have to make it up in other months, but that doesn't mean that those are your repair costs month after month. So it's looking at the overall larger picture.
Right. I know what I was going to say, a lot of those overhead numbers too, like admin expense that you brought up, a lot of those numbers are antiquated. And I think, in this kind of modern age, as I'll call them today, what we notice is our admin expenses are like 1.5%. Our IT expenses doubled. So that's what you need to look at. And if we're going to look at these percentages from 1995, that
Right.
a lot of consultants and team are kind of holding on to a little bit right now, because as these norms, they're not going to be anywhere near what you really should kind of hone in on, especially if you're going to run an up-to-date tech-heavy practice or rely on tech.
So your view, your overhead expenses, you have an idea of where you need to be on average. You know what you need from a production standpoint in order to cover for those overhead expenses. And one of the big things to make sure that you're also doing, that I know Sten talked about in his interview last week, is paying yourself and making sure that that is calculated in your overhead expense. Yes, your salary should also be calculated in what you need to produce and not what you're just hoping will be left over. But then we need to take a step back from that, right? We can throw a number on the wall and say, this is what we have to produce. Now we need to know why we're producing those numbers. And this goes for your team and for your doctors. It has to be more than just this is the number, produce, produce, produce until you get there. What else is that tied to?
And I think that's a huge point. I think so many single office, single doctor offices do not pay themselves. They don't pay themselves a percentage of the dentistry they produce. And I personally, I think that's a huge mistake and something I did for a lot of years. And I think it was a huge mistake when I did it. I think it's a huge mistake for a lot of people to do it. And the reason I do is because it doesn't give you that real-time feedback. It doesn't give you that motivation to really, you want to motivate even yourself, just like you would an associate, or just like you would a team member. If you're going to work, you want to get paid for it, right? And the other thing I think it does, it's probably arguably more important, is it truly does show you where your profit is, right? If you were to break a leg, break an arm, have back surgery, God forbid something worse, and you needed to have someone come in, you're going to have to pay that person. Are you going to have anything left over to live on?
Right.
And if your overhead expense is 70%, you're not. I'll tell you right now, you're going to be paying every month to keep that practice running. If your practice overhead is 45 or 50%, then you will. And you might actually start to see how you can start to build a business by working through other people in addition to yourself. Because if you're producing whatever you can, and you have other people that can produce, the same or even just a little bit less or whatever it is, you start to really look at the numbers and look at the what's left over and look at your business from an owner's standpoint, not from an employee standpoint, which a lot of people do. They think of themselves as employees. They treat themselves like employees, but they think of themselves as leaders, and that doesn't work that way.
And we're very open about the fact that this is a business. When we're talking with our doctors and our team about this, everyone is here for an income. Like that is the reality. And that doesn't mean that we can't help people and we can't have reward in what we're doing. But if you're not making an income for yourself, that's not a profitable business. And if you're looking to take on partners down the road, or if you're looking to potentially sell, that's also the way that they're going to be evaluating your business. They don't see a profitable business. And we've seen this in countless acquisitions where we're looking at the P&Ls and we're going, where's the doctor payroll on this? Where is the doctor income on this? And it's not there because it hasn't happened in 4 years.
When you see million-dollar practices where the guys make $150,000 a year, something doesn't add up, right? And it's they're happy with $150,000 a lot of times, which is not okay either. But it really kind of, getting a little bit of a paycheck sometimes just keeps you quiet. And that's, whether you call it the boiling frog or whatever analogy you want to use, but that's truly what it is. Because then, when something really does go wrong, you don't have enough buffer to really handle that on the personal side or on the business side. So it's a huge deal. But I think bringing up the why, I think is really what we wanted to talk about on this call is, if you don't know why you're working, if you don't know why you're waking up every day, you're never gonna hit any kind of goal, pie in the sky goal that you want to be. Everything else, it's just talk, right? If you don't have a why of why you want to hit that goal, whether it's buy a house, pay off your house, send the kids to college, remodel a house, go on a vacation, whatever it is, it needs to be a goal. Because if you don't have something like that, you don't have a reason to wake up in the morning. And things become monotonous, and that's when you are satisfied with those numbers that I was just talking about. You have no reason to kind of better yourself or your practice or your business for your team members.
It's not rainbows and butterflies every day. You know, I mean, we talk about this. We were actually just talking about this on our leadership meeting this morning with our team and our doctors that are on our leadership team, talking about, you know, the kids are back in school now. And so now all of a sudden, you know, they went all summer long staying. The joke is, you know, they went all summer long staying up until 2 in the morning, only eating Cheetos, and no one magically had a stomach ache over the summer. Now all of a sudden we're back in school and I have a stomach ache. I think I have to stay home, right? How many days do you not feel like you're wanting to go to work? You know, you have a headache, you have this and that, and the other thing, you got to push through anyway and be an adult, but why? So we start these conversations very early, whether it's with our doctors or with our team members. You know, we've had plenty of new grads coming out of school, and what they are looking for from an income standpoint is all over the board. We have people who come in that they are expecting a seven-figure income their first year out of school. It's amazing. All things are possible. How are you going to get there? We've also had people who are only expecting a five-figure income coming right out of school, not even in the six-figure range. They're just looking for five figures. So is it that you only think you're going to be able to produce that? So that's a safe number to pick. We've had those conversations. So why do you want to produce X? We can throw any number out there. What does that mean to you? Why do you want to produce that amount? One of the very first questions we ask.
Yeah, and it's a really important one to hone in on. And it is a little bit of off-putting sometimes when people first hear this and we're talking about it so early in our relationship. But like Jennifer said, it's so important. And if we can't identify why you're working, we really can't help you very much, right? And I understand there's a theory about gamification and you got to gamify every aspect of your business and things like that. Great, fine. And we have done parts of that, and I love it. But if the game just gets you a gold star, it's not enough. We need to know why someone's working, right? And we do this with our team members. We do this with our 18-year-old sterilization techs. We do this with our seasoned assistants. We do this with our doctors on day one. And it's something that really, really is important. And we kind of bring it back. Where are you with your financial goals? Have you guys saved up for that house? I don't need to know your personal numbers. You know, exactly. A lot of them tell us that. They tell us what the numbers are. We know their income, obviously. We know what they're saving for, but they don't have to. We're not asking to, you know, get into your bank account. That's not what this is all about. But let's help you look at your finances, look at your personal statement, and figure out what you need to make, what you can save, and how fast you can get to that goal. And it's one thing to set a goal and not tell anyone. It's another thing to tell everyone. And I don't think that's the right call either, right? Because that's not healthy either. But a few key people that can hold you accountable and hold yourself accountable, I think is really, really important. And that's what we're looking to do for our team members and our doctors is if we can ask you, and you know we're going to ask you, not every day, not every week, but periodically, where are you on a different goal? Has that goal changed? Are you tracking towards it? And we know because we see their numbers. They know we're going to ask, and they know they have to produce, and they have to perform to in order to hit that for themselves and for us.
Yeah, and that point is so important because it's not just for us, right? Yes, we set goals for the business based off of what everyone as a whole, you know, when we are setting the new annual goals, we tell them flat out, this is so you all individually can hit your individual income goals. Doctors, team, the whole enchilada, everybody together. It's not just if I don't hit my goal, then I didn't make Stan and Jennifer happy. No, you're invested in this too. You've told your husband, wife, but like, hey, this is what we're working towards. It's not just, well, I'm just not good enough, right? It's back to the gamification part of this. And we're very competitive people too, right? I don't want to speak for Sten, but Sten and I are a little competitive, right? I want to win and I'm in it to win. I did not grow up in an era where everyone received a participation award. You had winners and you had losers. And if you're not a winner, you're a loser. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. However, if it becomes, I just want to win for the sake of winning, or I just want to win to be better than my fellow associate. That is an empty quest, to be honest. And we've seen that, right? Well, I'm not hitting my number. We've seen that with our own associates. I'm not hitting my income goal, but I'm still the highest producing doctor, so I'm good with that. Or they're not hitting their income goal in March. Did you not have had this conversation? I want to adjust my goal for the entire year. Excuse me? Then that goal didn't mean anything to you to begin with. Right. If you're going to give it up that easily after the first quarter of the year, you've already kissed the rest of the year goodbye. This is not an exercise. And let me just keep lowering it to something that I know I'm guaranteed to hit. The why behind it wasn't sticky enough.
Yeah, and I think it was Tony Robbins, not that I'm a huge fan of it, but what is something like be rigid in your goals and flexible in the ways for achieving them. Yeah, and that's dentistry. I mean, that's dentistry. And I think that's, we've in the last 4 or 5 years, the whole world, but especially and to some extent, especially dentists, have learned to think on their feet and pivot and be flexible and do different things and have new strategies and I mean, whether you call it COVID, whether you call it economy, what all these different things are happening, no, not 1 year over year has been the same for me. And it's been that way for every single dentist for the last 5 or 6 years. And so you have to set a goal. And just because the wind starts, blows in a different direction, or another president gets elected, or another bird flu is out, or whatever it is, doesn't mean you change your goals. You figure out a way to get them, and we'll help you. This is what we do with it, help our doctors, we help our team members, but let's figure out a way to get you to your goal. There's always a way. There's always a way.
And what happens if you don't produce that? Right? What is really, you might have to give something up, and that may happen. That may happen. You don't hit it this year, but that doesn't mean that you're just giving up forever, or that we can't get, okay, maybe you're halfway to where you thought you were going to be, and maybe we're going to make an extra little push, or maybe there's an opportunity to make it up in December. There has to be something on the line that is going to hurt. It's going to sting a little bit when you don't get there.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of that fear setting, right? There's goal setting and there's fear setting. And not that we want to bring a lot of doom and gloom into the conversation, but like Jennifer said, what happens if you don't hit it? Right? Is this a goal where you got to move because you don't have money to live here anymore? Or is this you got to pick out a different tile for the bathroom? Now I don't get the whatever car that you wanted to get, fancy, whatever it is. And so we need to you need to put it in perspective a little bit, right? And so, but I think when we look at the fear setting, I think the main point of it is what happens if I don't actually try?
Right.
And not necessarily what happens when I don't actually achieve the goal, but what happens if I don't actually try? And because there's only one way to guarantee you're not going to hit it, and that's not the try, right? And I think, that's where people, I think it really, for me, it really hits home. And for our doctors and our team members, it really hits home. If I never try this, I'm never going to have that. I'll never know. And if you're never going to know, you can never be upset with anyone but yourself.
And this really helps, help guide the conversations we have with our doctors regarding their goal and their production, because they can see, hey, what worked last year at this time is not working this year at this time. We can sit there and be sad about it and, oh, woe is me, and have a victim mentality about it. Or, okay, we have to pivot. As Sten mentioned, we've had to pivot a ton since COVID in the dental world. What am I going to do to pivot? And it's been very, very neat for us to see so much growth in our doctors as a result of that. We've had doctors who have referred out all of their surgery cases because surgery wasn't something that was of interest to them, or they weren't as efficient in surgery. They were afraid of surgery a little bit. Like, hey, I'm just going to refer this to somebody else. To, I'm going to do a CE course in oral surgery so that I'm not referring out as many of those cases, because that's something that is within my control that can impact my production today. Okay, great. Let's help you find a CE course so that you're more efficient in that.
Right. And I think that's a perfect example we talked about a little bit last call too, was looking at these things from that lens, from your goal lens, right? If I'm taking the CE course, it should not be something I'm just interested in because I saw it on TikTok or Instagram, right? And those big fancy and crazy pictures, it needs to be something that you can do that's going to make an impact on your team and on your income Monday morning. It absolutely has to. And I think that we believe there's a core set of things and that there's not everyone has to do all of them. And very few people can, but there's about 5 or 6 things that we really encourage our doctors to be kind of a very well-rounded. Some of them are very, very advanced, but when you start adding in some of these nuanced procedures, they can be a boost to production. That takes time, and sometimes those take away from the production from other procedures, things like that. And so we really need to look at, our CE mix, our clinical mix, all these different things, from the lens of how are we going to hit our goals.
So we start with our why, and this is some of this is warm and fuzzy. The screen that I have up right now is an example of we have three of these in our practices in our break rooms. These are all whys that have come from our team and from our doctors. We're going to talk about our quarterly focus workshops here in just a minute, but we start with your why. Why are you doing this? What are the things that you are working towards? And this can change, this can be updated, but these are all phrases from our team. And so we put them on a wall so that it is in front of them at all points in time that, yeah, they want to help people and they want to help support their family and they're looking for financial stability. All of these things they want to grow, they want to use their skills that are all fantastic things to be working towards. So it's right in their face every day. And now there is a number that is attached to it, right? Back to a little bit of the gamification. You have to have a number for every single thing. Okay, you want to pay off debt? Great. How much debt do you have? Let's work backwards from there. And that's where we start to set the annual. So we start with, hey, okay, what does that look like for this year? What does that look like for this quarter? What does that look like today? Let's break it down into smaller chunks. Most people end up in paralysis analysis when they're looking at a huge goal that they're trying to obtain. I'm never going to get there. Well, no, you're not going to go from being a $500,000 producer today to a $1 million producer tomorrow. We wish that that would happen, but it's probably not going to happen that fast. Okay, so what do we need to do this month? What does that extrapolate out to? What does that look like from a production standpoint per day? What does that look like from a production standpoint per hour? Our doctors know literally to the penny what they need to produce to hit their annual goal. They have it ingrained in their brain and they have scorecards that they can look at in real time to see where they are on their trajectory towards that goal.
And this is huge, and I think we're going to talk about this a little bit more on our next call, I'm guessing next week. But this is where it really we see the light bulbs kind of going for a lot of team members, a lot of doctors, right? Because we have Jennifer made the example that people are changing their goals, in March because they're knocking them down. We've had the opposite too, where all of a sudden we've had
Yeah.
team members a lot of times, actually year over year almost, where they set a bonus goal. What do they want a bonus? What do they want to make on their bonus? In whatever year, multiple years with multiple team members, they've hit that in February, March, April, right? I mean, and they've had to adjust the other way. Okay, well, I hit my yearly goal in 3 or 4 months. Like, holy moly, what the heck do I do now? Like, now we're resetting all kinds of exciting goals for what that really means. But when you start to really work backwards, and I think it really kind of hones in on how attainable these things are, right? Because I wasn't in a lot of those workshops that Jennifer had when these people were hitting their goals or setting their goals and then hitting them in the first 3 or 4 months. But I can almost guarantee you they were really nervous about the big numbers they were throwing out. Is that right? I
Oh,
mean,
100%.
terrified, like almost uncomfortably, like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't want to write this down on paper. I don't want to do this. This is not me. I'm not good enough. Whatever it is, all those negative thoughts, right? And then when you start to show them a path or show someone a path or even just write it down yourself on a piece of paper and work backwards on number of hours you work per month, week, year, all the different things, and then what you need to produce to kind of hit those goals, you start to see a pretty small number. And it's not the number, it's not the big number of the hourly that really makes a difference. It's the consistency. And that's where people really get tied up a little bit too. It's like everyone wants to look at, yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I produced $2,000 last week, an hour. Great. But you produced 500 the week before, right? And 600 the week before, and whatever it is. And so people want to look at and they want to go tell their friends about that or tell their spouses about those $2,000 a week, an hour weeks. But if we're not doing that consistently, that doesn't mean a damn thing. That just made up for all those weeks that you were, not producing before. So it's the consistency and seeing that number and seeing that average. And we look at a monthly, we look at a quarterly, and we look at a yearly average. And that kind of gives us a little bit of our trajectory. We have to look at those averages because that's going to be what really gets us to our goal and how we can get it.
Well, and controlling the controllables. We're ultimately all of this is to make sure that both our doctors and our team are active participants in this. Hope is not a strategy. If you are hoping for that case to just walk in the door with the patient who has a credit card in their hand that gave you the $2,000 an hour average on that week, sure, those cases happen sometimes, far and few between. You can't build a career on the hope that a patient is just going to walk in the door and hand you money. That's everyone's dream. That's not reality. So, what parts of this can we control? We get back to our doctors about case acceptance. And we've talked a lot about this. We're going to continue to talk about this. We actually have a series coming up on exam flow and treatment presentations and how so much of this starts with a doctor exam, whether or not the patient proceeds with treatment or not. If you're just in the mode that, well, if I schedule, right, we've had this happen many times. If I schedule doctors who are not scheduling anything, mind you, in our practices, if I schedule this appointment, I did a great job with that exam. If that patient didn't schedule for that treatment, that was our front office that messed up the scheduling, right? We hear this all the time. They take the credit for the positive, but it was the front office's fault if they didn't schedule. No, what do you actually need? Let's extrapolate it out from a case acceptance standpoint, consistently to hit your goal. There is always going to be someone who cancels out on you on Monday morning because they have projectile vomiting that came up over the weekend. It's going to happen. Again, you can't rest your entire production on that one patient. Things are going to happen. You have to have the consistency of that train of treatment coming in to get you to your goal.
Right, right.
And this is why we do our quarterly focuses. Do I not have a quarterly focus slide? Hold the phone. I guess I don't have a quarterly focus slide. That's sad. Okay. We'll go with the scorecard. We'll do a preview of that scorecard. So this is why we do our quarterly focuses with our doctors. We're going to get more into our doctor scorecard on next week's session, but this is why we start with them of, hey, what do you want to do for this year? What is the focus for this quarter? And it helps us measure backwards. Hey, where were you at last quarter? Something has to be positive and where you came from. You know, we've also had doctors who are not having a great quarter. They might be having a couple of bad quarters, and they've come to us with quarterly focus of nothing went right this quarter. Woe is me. You know, you can just feel them melting on the inside. And I kicked it back to them about, I want to hear what went right this quarter. I'm not going to buy into this, that we're just throwing up our hands. Otherwise, we can just part ways now and just cut our losses. If that's really where you think this is at, nothing has improved. I don't let them play that game. Yes, everyone has a bad day, a bad week, a bad quarter. Again, what are we doing to turn that around? How are we going to pivot? How are we going to make sure we're holding all of us accountable for your goals? And if you need more tools, if you need a different insight, more perspective, that is what we're here for, to help provide you that. But we're not going to let you just go down the rabbit hole and kiss the rest of the year goodbye. And
it's funny you brought that up, because I was actually just on a call with other business owners just this morning. And that was the same comment, was that people didn't like talking about the positives, because they always had things to do. There was always things they needed to work on. There's always new things that we need to do, you know, improve on. But that's not the point. You know, talking about the positives is a strategy. It's not a warm and fuzzy. It's a strategy to kind of trigger your brain a little bit to look at the good things that happened and drive to get more of those. And that's what we have to talk about. And we have to force ourselves to talk about them, even when we think talking about the positives means that I'm not looking at the negatives, when that's not true. It's a way to tackle the negatives a little bit more efficiently, with a little bit more clarity. So
next week, we're going to build on this. We're going to get into this doctor scorecard that we have more in depth about how we set these goals, how we're setting the focus, and how we explain these to our doctors to help drive production. So come back next week for part 3 in this series. In the meantime, if you would like to connect with us about how we can help you roll out a system like this for yourself and for your doctors, please feel free to reach out. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we're available on all of the social platforms as well. And we'd be happy to help you build your own doctor scorecard as part of your doctor development program. We will be back next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.